as he is in this world, so are we. So we, as he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
True indeed,
as he is in this world, so are we.
Get it?
You know his love is sufficient. Ask for a blessing, he send it. To not believe is indignant. Full of grace, can you dig it? He can't be mocked, so don't try it. You think you can and you frying. Satan lies, but don't buy it. To know his love, I'm excited. Release. While falling to my knees, feel like flowing through the breeze, just like Christopher Reeves. Gotta practice what we preach, cause this world could be a beach built on a rock, so storms they won't breach. Say love, y'all know that's what he is. Blesses us with his gifts, cause we are indeed his kids. Peace, he is the son of man. We don't always understand, but need to follow his plan. Pray, it's how we talk to our dad. When we do it, he is glad. Best feeling we can have.
Faith,
we don't have it, we're a mess. Go through trials to get a test, but we pass and get blessed.
Get it.
You are now riding with the Dashboard Pastor, aka DBP. So strap in, get your mind ready, and let's roll.
What's good, peeps? What's up? It is me, Anthony. I'm the Dashboard Pastor. Welcome to another episode of the DBP. I'm excited to be here. I have a series in mind based off of... So, I did the message for my church. It was not on Facebook. We had technical difficulties. It's on Instagram. So, I mean, you could go to the church at Thornton on Instagram. And the message is titled Proof versus Example. So, based off of that, this series is, I'm pulling that series apart and I'm going more, what's up, my man? How you doing, Rod? I'm going into more detail, I guess, or I'm just sectioning it off that one thing because it could have been multiple. And we'll see how long this goes. I have no idea. I say series. It could be two. It could be five. I don't know. So roll with me and we'll get there. But I want to read a Bible verse first and then we'll talk. This is 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26. And it says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach, be patient with difficult people, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Now, what is all of that? I'm going to talk about kind to everyone, teaching, patient with difficult people, gently instructing those. So I'm going to talk about it from the context of, one, being a believer, talking to people who are not believers, and two, just being a human, talking to other humans. So, y'all ready to go? Let's do this. I have been speaking about something like this for a long time. I've been paraphrasing this for quite some time. Obviously, it was on my heart, because in the Bible, it says that the Holy Spirit pulls those things that you read from the Word to remembrance. It doesn't say it like that, but that's what it's saying. So if I am in the Word, I'm getting God's Word, it will pull things to remembrance. And that's why oftentimes you'll hear me paraphrase Bible verses when I'm talking, because God will pull it up and I'll speak. So I've been paraphrasing this for quite some time. We're in a Bible study. And this came out, and it was like, wow, there we go. I have been talking, meditating, thinking about this for quite some time. And yet, here we go. Now this is where I got it from. So, all of that to say, where do I want to start? I'll start with Christians to non-Christians. We have spent so much time as Christians trying to browbeat, knock over, force, condemn, shame people into believing God. Believing in God, being a follower of Christ. We've done this for years upon years upon years upon years. What we have found by that method is now there's this thing called separation of church and the state. Why? Because people have gotten so sick of hearing those who believe try to beat something over their head. People don't want to be force-fed anything. That applies to our faith as well. And even in his Bible verse, it says, if you do this gently, they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. That's important, Pete. What's up? Interesting piece, as I was saying. Sorry. So I am going a different route because I came from somewhere else. I don't know what all of this is going to be like. I have to imagine I'm about to get on the highway. I should be fine. But my point. Interesting piece about the important piece is that if we gently and kindly speak to people, that God will bring them to their senses. As this is spoke about in another place in the Bible. It says, let them taste the fruits and see for themselves how good God is. Meaning, let them see the goodness of God. They will get a taste for that. And from that taste, from that, they will have a connection to God. That is how God gets to them. That is the connection piece. It is not, I kick in the door, I tell you how wrong and stupid and ignorant and blah, 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 blah you are. Because once I've done that, you stop listening to me. Then it's not a matter of, do I believe in this God? It's a matter of, I wish this person would shut up. I wish they would go away. I don't want to hear that. So, we need to go back to this mentality of gently speaking, kindly speaking, showing love. Now, here's the thing that I'm going to say, because people hear gentle words like gently and kind, and they start thinking weak. Jesus was not weak. He was meek. Not weak. I've talked about that on here, and I guess I can continue to talk about it. Meekness and weakness are two completely different things. Meekness is power under control. Weakness is without power. So Jesus had the power to do and say whatever he wanted. An example, which I believe I spoke about, I did speak about this, so that's why it came to mind. When James and John came to Jesus and were like, hey, why don't you bring down fire? Show these people what's up. And Jesus was like, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. No. You ain't ready for that. Because you thinking that's going to hurt them, it's probably going to hurt you. Having the ability to do that and not doing that, doing it is meekness. I have a different tactic. Because one of the things that Jesus was... You know, the other thing about the whole concept of meekness and weakness and kindness is people thought that the Messiah was going to come in, kick the door in, guns a-blazing, and being like, hey, I'm running this. I'm taking all this over. Y'all got to get out of here. And so when he didn't do that, people were like, what? Are you really the Messiah? And he was like, let me show you something. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you a different way to get to people. I'm trying to show you the best way to get to people. And that is why God speaks about meekness, gentle, kindness, compassion. That's why these words are throughout the Bible. The Bible. It's a lot in the New Testament when Jesus is coming in his ministry and after, but it's in the Bible. So God knows how we are. God knows, because he made us. God knows how to connect with us. So God is telling us, if you don't want people talking crazy to you, you shouldn't be talking crazy to them. So instead of trying to be overly aggressive in the vein of force when it comes to speaking about the truth, try just showing the truth. Interesting concept, right? If I can come into a situation, not just me in particular, we can, come into a situation, not say one word, and show God's goodness. Did you hear that? We can come into a situation, not saying one word, and show God's goodness. And that will speak to the hearts of people way more than me coming in saying, hey, I just want y'all to know, my name is Anthony, I'm a pastor. I need to talk to all of y'all about God. You need to hear this, because if y'all don't hear any of this, y'all gonna be in the eternally damned in hell. So you need to shut up and listen to me. That means nothing. And that's not proof, because going back to what I said, this is based off of a message that was called proof versus example. We want to be proof of God's goodness. We want to be proof of God's, of God, period. Not examples of why people shouldn't follow him. I should have said that on the front. The point of this is, are we proof of God's goodness? Or are we examples of why you don't need to follow him? And what I'm speaking about right now with that mentality is examples of why we don't need to follow him. Because people will see, oh, there goes those people again. And we already get lumped in when you say the word Christian. We get lumped in into either a cult. We get lumped into closed-minded. We get, bigots, hypocrites, all of these, we get lumped as a whole into this. So why would we show them that? We should show the opposite, because Jesus showed the opposite. Jesus had the ability, like I said, to just do whatever he wanted. He could have said whatever he wanted to say. He could have went off on people, but he chose not to go off on people. Except for the Pharisees. He didn't go off on the sinners. He didn't tell the sinners, oh, you know what? Y'all suck. Y'all are horrible. Y'all are all gonna die and go to hell and whatever. He didn't do that. He went to them. He spoke to them with compassion, gently talking to them, kindly giving them information, giving them love. And when he did that, they heard what he said, and it internalized in their heart. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible where after Jesus talked to people, they were like, oh my God, I got to tell people about this. Even when he told people, hey, what I just did, don't tell nobody about that. They're like, man, I got to tell you about this dude. This dude back here, he just did this, and this. Because of his approach. His approach was to get people's heart, to get people... The best way to communicate to people, and that's through, there you go, baby. Even a fool seems wise when quiet. I love that verse. So that's the thing. We got to communicate. We got to communicate in the way to get people. There's an earthly saying, earthly, natural, however you want to word that. You get more flies from sugar than salt. What is that metaphor saying? If you're kind to people, you'll get more people's attention than if you're sour to people. And that should be common sense, although I don't like that term because it's not common anymore. The point is, that should make sense to most people. Huh, if I'm nicer to people, I'll get more accomplished. If I want people to hear the word of God, I should probably be nicer to people. And if I'm nicer to these people, then they hear the word of God, then they accept God, then God ministers to their heart, and then they in turn go do that, and then the cycle repeats. So what is that happening? More people are hearing the word, more people are hearing the message, more people are believing it, more people are trusting it, and more people are following it. Therefore, the word is getting out there. That's how we're going to save people. That is how we're going to save people. Trying to be a do as I say, not as I do, that don't work. It don't work. Trying to say, look at me, I'm better than you, that don't work. So, follow the example that Jesus led. And I said Jesus didn't, he only went at the Pharisees. And I can only think of one time where he came out at somebody in a aggressive manner, like physically, when he was flipping tables in the temple. And he was like, hey man, y'all are messing up my dad's house, man. Y'all need to get out of here with this. And I believe he did that because that was the only way he would get their attention. Because in that instance, he was trying to get their attention. He used that tactic to get their attention. It got their attention. Outside of that, you don't see him reacting like that. Why? Because he knows the hearts of people, and he knows how to properly communicate to get people to pay attention to what he's saying. Love God, love people. Amen. Test this theory. Go talk to one person sideways and see how they react to whatever message you're trying to give them. It could be something about God. It could be something different. Talk to one person sideways and pay attention to their reaction. Go to somebody else and come from a place of compassion and kindness, gentle, and see how they respond. I promise you, you'll see a difference. I promise you that. Again, it doesn't have to be speaking about God. It could be speaking about your favorite food. It could be your favorite drink, your movie, whatever. Go to one person sideways and go to somebody else in a gentle, kind, courteous manners, imagine that, right? With manners, and speak to them and see the difference. Record the difference of these interactions so you can see it for yourself. So it's not just me talking. People want to see, even though we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Even Jesus used metaphors, parables to get people to pay attention so that they would see it and they can internalize it. So I challenge anybody who struggling with what I'm saying right now is like, to do what I said. Go to two completely different people pick a topic. Whatever that topic is, pick it. Go to one of them sideways. Go to the other one with manners. Record what happened. If I'm wrong, you can come on here and say I was wrong. I doubt I'm wrong. I doubt it. Now, are there rude people who just you just can't talk to? Yes, there are. But even Jesus showed us how to handle those people. Sometimes, my wife put on here, even a fool seems wise when quiet. I already said, you can show Jesus without saying one word. If you got difficult people, this Bible verse tells us we shouldn't be quarreling with difficult people. We should be kind to difficult people. Even if you don't see the harvest from the seeds you plant, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a good harvest. I've seen this the many years that I've worked in schools. I've seen this working with some of these students and some of the students that I had the pleasure, I can say that now, the pleasure of working with. It wasn't pleasurable at the beginning. It was very hard. They were very, they were beat up by the system, by people, by whatever disability they may or may not have been dealing with, by their family, all these different things. And I come from a spot of, I'm going to show you respect. That's how I was raised. I don't come with this, you got to respect me to get my respect. I don't believe in that. You reap what you sow. So if you want respect, you got to plant those seeds. Otherwise, you ain't going to get it. You sow seeds of disrespect, that's it. So I come in from a place of respect. I'm respecting these kids. I'm talking to them in a certain manner. And what I've seen with all of these difficult kids that I ended up working with over a period of time, my conversations with them were different. To the point to where I can then start having harsher conversations with them, and they listened to me because they saw that I cared. I could say things like, hey man, you know better than that, quit being foolish. And it's not a, oh, F you, it's like, yeah, you're right, I know. And I'm not saying this to puff myself up, because I'm gonna tell you, there's a lot of these interactions where my knee-jerk reaction was to go off on these kids because of some of the stuff they said or may have done to me personally. God told me, Anthony, close your mouth, process, show them love like I show you. And I've had a lot of these different kids come back to me at different times. A lot of them are grown now, and come back to me and say things like, thank you for being who you were. Thank you for how you interacted with me. Thank you for the things that you said. Thank you for the things you did. Nobody else would talk to me like that. Nobody else would listen to me. Nobody else would do these things. Not everyone said that, but I had a nice number of that said these things to me. Why? So I can talk about this right now to give you examples of exactly what I'm talking about. And if you sow these seeds of gentle, kind, and you treat people, even people, difficult people with kindness, this is what happens. So then these people go off and they probably plant that same seed. I say probably because not all of them do, because we all have free will. Ultimately, people get to make the choice of what they want to do. Not everybody's going to be nice. It is what it is. But that shouldn't stop us from being nice. That's what this Bible verse I read just said. So this is waning off of talking about Christian to non-Christian to just people to people. Because this applies to both of those. As a person, talking to another person, have some decency. Have some respect. You don't need to talk sideways to people. And you know what? When you do, because we all will at one point, you know what we could do? My bad. Because sometimes it ain't even directed at people. That wasn't even directed at you. I apologize. I didn't mean to talk to you like that. Let's back up. Or here's another idea. Think about that. Again, referring to the Bible verse that my wife just put up here, and it's like Proverbs 16, 1624 or 1628, something like that. I don't remember exactly. I can put it in later. But the Bible verse that my wife just put, even a fool seems wise when quiet. Shut up. If you ain't in a proper headspace to speak to somebody in a manners, with manners, don't talk. You ain't got to say a word. Just be quiet. Because a fool seems wise when quiet. If I know I'm so mad, the next thing that's gonna come out of my mouth is something foul, I need to stop talking. You got something to say? No, I'm good. Nope. You all right? I'm good. Because what you should be doing in that instance, even if it's just in your head, is coming from your heart praying, God, I need you right now. Because I know right now I'm really about to say something foul. I'm really about to say something foul. God, I need you right now. Jesus, take the wheel, however you want to say it. That's the opportunity to start praying instead of speaking. And I promise you, if you do that more than you do this, your interactions with people are, for the most part, going to be pleasant, fruitful. Fruitful more than pleasant. Let's say fruitful. Fruitful is more important than pleasant. We will have more fruitful conversations, interactions with people, if we learn to just check our flesh and speak from a standpoint of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. God gave us the blueprint. First thing the fruits of the Spirit said was love. That's the very first thing. So if we love people, we want to treat people with respect. And what does that do? That's proof that God is love, that we are showing love. That's proof that God loves us. That's proof that God is compassionate towards us. That's proof that God is empathetic towards us. That's proof that God is merciful to us when we do these things. That is how we show these things. That's how we show proof of these things, by showing the, by playing it out. Because not everybody reads the Bible that we read. Sometimes we are the only Bible that people are going to see or read or hear. So not everybody knows walk by faith and not by sight. If people are not believers, they need to see it in order to believe it. And they will eventually get to where they just believe it and then see it. Because as Christians, we're supposed to believe it and then see it. You'll get there. How do you get there? By what I'm talking about. People need to see that. If they know your walk of faith, they know your life. I've said this last week. I probably said it the week before, and I'm going to keep saying it. If they know your walk of faith, they know your life, and they see you coming, being foul, being rude, being messed up, always telling people a negative, always disrespecting people. If they see that and they know that you are a Christian, they're going to be like, well, why in the world would I listen to this person? Why do I want to follow this God? Because this God just talks like this person over here. I don't need to change my life for that. I could just keep doing what I'm doing. And that's it. So what are we doing then? We're being examples of what not to do. We're being examples to people that you shouldn't believe what this book says. And this is why they call us hypocrites. This is why they call us closed-minded. This is why they call us bigots. Thank you, Proverbs 17:28. I got the 28 part right. I was off. Thank you for that, baby. I said a word earlier, manners. I stick to that word because if you pay attention to what's going on, this world is trying to take manners out of the equation. It was implemented in my life at a very young age by my parents to have manners. sometimes it took me being gently reminded. Sometimes I wasn't so gently reminded about not having manners. But I had to learn that. And so I carry myself, I walk in life with that mindset of having manners. What is having manners? That's the stuff that these Bible verses are talking about. Being gentle, being kind, being respectful. Being quick to listen and slow to speak. James 1:19. Being quick to listen, slow to speak. That's a whole other thing. That might be the topic of a whole other. I just use it here. But here's the thing that where these are connected. God says these different things in these different Bible verses, and people think that because one is in Revelations and one is in Genesis, that they don't connect, but they do. He's saying this, and a lot of these things he's saying multiple times. Being gentle, being kind, loving on people is repeated throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, he says it several times. Why would he say something several times? Unless he meant we should do that. Just throwing that out there. You can take what I'm saying, or you can throw it away. But God is not in the habit of saying things just to say them. And if you read in different verses and they're saying the same thing, there's a reason for that. He's trying to get you to hear it. Just like if you come on here and you watch, whether it's me or whatever pastor you're watching or listening to, if you hear them and they are repeating themselves, there is a reason that they are repeating themselves. Like, man, this message sounds like some other message. There's a reason for that. What is that message? What is the reason for that? You need to hear it because we are not learning. We're not progressing. We need to progress. So God says these things multiple times. Why? Because we as people need to hear things, see things, do things multiple times to take them in. That is how we form habits. We have to do something multiple times to form a habit. Whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, we have to do something multiple times in order for it to become routine, become a habit. God knows that. So he says these things several times in the Bible. So if he's telling you to be compassionate, guess what that means? You should be compassionate. If he's telling you to be kind, guess what that means? You should be kind. If he's telling you to be gentle, guess what that means? You should be gentle. And if you see this in different spots of the Bible, he's really saying, hey, you didn't see that last time, but I need you to see this now. Hey, I said this 3-4 times ago, but pay attention right here. Hey, just so you know. I know you didn't get it the first 10 times I said it, but I need you to see this right here. That's what that is. And why does he do that? Because he's kind, he's patient, he's loving. So he knows that we need him to be kind, patient, and loving. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to keep telling you. And he doesn't say, oh, y'all stupid. Oh, y'all messed up. Oh, y'all this. Oh, man, here you go. I can't stand you. He doesn't say that. He's like, look, you need this. So I'm going to tell you again. Hey, I know you need this. So I'm going to tell you again. Hey, you know what? It's all right. You messed up. You need this. So I'm going to tell you again. Which is why I had a message last week talking about pressing forward. Because we mess up something and then we're like, oh, God don't like me no more. And he's like, no. Hey, if you just keep going, you're going to see I told you this again. I'm going to just remind you. Amen. Well said, Ish. I agree with you. The Holy Spirit is always there telling us to do things. Are we listening to that? Or are we becoming in the flesh? If we want to be the proof of God's goodness, in the instances which we're talking about right now, there's more instances, more will come. But in what we're talking about right now, God is saying, don't waste your time arguing with people about foolish things. Someone to say, what, talking about God is a foolish thing? If you are arguing with somebody about why they should believe God and they don't, and y'all are arguing, that is a foolish debate. It is foolish. Why? Because it's not going to produce any kind of fruit whatsoever. So God is telling us, y'all need to let go of foolish debates. Quit arguing about stupid things and have conversations about real things. Conversations and debates, two different things. So quit arguing over things that don't matter. Doesn't matter what your political stance is. To you, yes. To other people, no. So why are you arguing about it? That's just one example. That's just one example. And I say that because in one of the things that I was reading, and I know people probably get mad that I brought that up. Why does I say that it doesn't matter? Politics cannot bring about repentance. We can't attach. We got to stop attaching our faith to either aisle of politics and saying that because, you know, this or that because of politics. So I am not telling you what you should believe politically. In fact, I'm telling you, believe what you should believe politically. Quit arguing with people about them that have different mentality, different perspectives than you. You know why? God gave us all free will. And if people say stupid things, you know what we do? You know, if to you, if something you perceive as dumb, you know, God gave us this wonderful thing in there. He says, you know, even a fool seems wise and quiet. And you know what? I can just not speak on it. And if I'm in a situation where I'm uncomfortable, you know what I can do? I can leave. I don't need to argue. People don't need to know what Anthony thinks about everything. In fact, a lot of times people will probably be happier that Anthony just stopped talking. I'm just saying. I know I'd use politics for this, and that might strike a nerve with some people. You look around in the world right now, what are we arguing about? This Bible verse says, quit arguing over foolish things. Foolish things. It is foolish to argue about something of whatever it is, if nothing fruitful comes out of it. Now, it's different if I have a conversation with you about something, even politics, and we are conversing back and forth. We are listening to each other. We are being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If we're doing that, we're having conversations. These are fruitful. Good fruit comes from these conversations. They don't come from debates, despite what the world is trying to tell us. That's why we got all these freaking shows coming on where people are arguing about sports, about this, about that. We have them all out. You know why these are popping up like nobody's business? Because the devil was trying to get us off the track of what this Bible verse said. The devil was trying to get us stuck in this mindset of, I need to argue with everybody. I need to get my point across. And God is saying, stop, stop, stop. You don't need to do that. If you want me to get to somebody, you arguing with them, you blocking my progress. You in the way. Get out the way. I know how to handle people. You don't. So get out the way. What I need you to do is stop talking. Get out the way. I can handle this. And somebody that will listen will come along, and they will come quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And then conversations will happen, and we will see fruit from that. That is proof of God's goodness. That is proof of the fruits of the Spirit. That is proof that people need to see the greatness that God is. And doing the opposite of that is us continuing to be examples of why people don't need to believe Bible verses like 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26. Why people shouldn't believe in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Why people shouldn't believe John 3, 16. If we keep doing that, we're being examples of why people should be there, as opposed to being proof of why people should believe those things. I got a little compassionate about that. I got a little passionate is what the word up. I'm trying to tell people, the devil is busy. He's got a lot of stuff. He's trying to get us focused on the wrong stuff. And us continuing to have these debates with people about whatever it is, ain't doing nothing. There's a lot of work to be done, and we're running out of time. If you're not paying attention to the sign of the times, we're running out of time. We ain't got time to be arguing, fighting, forcing, debating, cussing at, all of this stuff. We ain't got time for that. They're not listening. So we should be listening. We should be quick to listen, slow to talk, slow to anger. All right, I gotta stop. Whoo! All right. I pray that everything that came out of my mouth today, you internalize that this was God telling me to tell you, be the person that shows my compassion for the world, so people will believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because if people don't believe that the people who follow him are loved, they ain't gonna believe that verse. That's a very pivotal verse. That's why everybody know it. Atheists know that. Agnostic, different sectors know that verse. Why? Because it's pivotal. And God wants everyone to know that. But if we keep showing the opposite, ain't nobody paying attention. So stop, Anthony. I love you. I love y'all. I love you. I love you. I pray to God that you hear my heart. You hear that my heart is that people, that we will be those that show God's goodness. We will be those that show love to people. People. Not certain people. People. We be that. We show that so that people can see God's goodness, so that they can get out of the trap of the enemy, so that they don't keep following what the world is saying and they start following what Jesus is saying. Man, I gotta stop. I love y'all. Have a great week. Come back next week for part 2 of Proof versus Example. Have a good week. Peace.